Okay, both say new Gemara, and it's not new. It's obviously also connected to the sugyas that we've been doing. We have the Gemara in Daf Lamed, and we have a statement of Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda, Kol Modin B'Baal Hanida Shemishalim Knas. L'mandam Yesh B'Havaya, Hanam Yesh B'Havaya, L'mandam Rilu Kaim, Hanam Rilu Kaima. The Mishnah has a list of women who get knas. They include Chai V'Lavin, they include Chai V'Krisus. The Gemara mentions just earlier, and Amud earlier, that this Mishnah is not consistent with the Shita of two of the Tanoim, Shimon HaTimni and Shimon HaMenasya. They would disagree. Shimon HaTimni is Mimayit Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya as opposed to Isha Sheyesh Bahavaya, Lo Thili Isha. So therefore, for him, Chavi Krisus would not get Knas because she's not it's Bahavaya. According to Shimon HaMenasya, we're Mimayit Isha Ru'uya L'Kaima, and therefore for him, Chayvi Lavin would not have Knas. The Gemara presses on, according to the Rabbi Akiva, right, that even Chayvi Lavin, a little toxic kedushin may be nayu. The Gemara suggested possibilities, Suri Kahuna, or Chayvi Essay, Bula Koin Gadol. Okay, that was the discussion that we had just until now. But Lamaisa, the Mishnah lists cases, and those cases, many of those cases, are not consistent with these two Tanoim. Rav Chisda is pointing out, however, that there's one case in the Mishnah that both of Shimon HaTimni and Shimon HaMenasya would agree to. If you look in the Mishnah, in the list of the Chai V'Krisus, it starts with Achoso, and it ends with what? Nida. Right? Nida is Chai V'Krisus, and the Mishnah has a whole group of Chai V'Krisus that Yesh Lahen Knas. And again, we're suggesting that according to the Shimon HaTimni Shimon HaMenasya, there would not be Knas by Chai V'Krisus because it's less Bahavaya and it's not really L'Kaima. So to that end, Rav Chisda says, but those criteria would not apply to Nida. Therefore, everyone would agree. L'man dam yesh ba'avaya, hanam yesh ba'avaya. The Gemara says explicitly in Yevamis that everyone agrees that Nida is yesh ba'avaya and there's no mamzerus. Sihi nidasa alav. It's a pasuk. We learned it out. Sihi nidasa alav. That yesh ba'avaya. And therefore, that Manda Amar would agree by Nida, that's Shimon HaTimni's Shita, and the other Manda Amar would also agree, it's Riyu L'Kaima, it's no different than every woman, that B'Shas Nidasa, right, she's not allowed to be with her husband, but Umaisa, she can be married. So she's Riyu L'Kaima to keep her. So therefore, everyone would agree to this. Rashi says, Hanami Yesh Ba'Avaya, meaning what? Hamakadesh Isha Bimeni Dusa Mikudeshes. Now the Ritva points out there is a major machlokes Rishonim, just to know, about Chupas Nida. It's right in the beginning of the Masechta, it's later on in Afalpi, the Sugya there. Is Chupas Nida Kona or not? And if it is, to what extent is it Kona? Many shitas about it. In other words, it's not Chupa Ru'ya Rabia. Part of the issue. He's not allowed to live with her, we're not allowed to have relations with Anida. So to the extent that Chuppah has to have that potential for Bia, so perhaps Chuppah is not Kona. So it's a big machlokas. And Rishonim disagree about this. And the Ritva says, even if we take the view that Chuppah's Nida is not Kona, but it doesn't affect this statement of Chisda. Because of Chisda is not relating to the issue of chuppah. What we have to say in Yesh Bahavaya is not the question of chuppah, whether the chuppah would be kona, whether it would be nesu impossible, but if erisin is possible, if you mekadesh a woman b'shas nidasa, would kedusha be tofes? And if the answer is kedusha is tofes, the nida, that's all that matters. And therefore, it's unrelated to that discussion of chuppah's nida. Koskin says the Ritva, according to what I hold, and Ritva takes the shita, that chuppah's nida is kona. And therefore, certainly, it's not an issue. But even if you hold the Chubas Nida is a problem, but Kiddushin, it is Kiddushin, therefore, there'd be Knas. What you see in this Gemara, though, is something important. suppose we would assume that Kiddushin is not tofes for a nida. That means b'shas, as Rashi says, b'shas that she's a nida, a person is b'kaddish, this woman, there'd be no tefes Kiddushin. Then there would be no knas, according to the drasha of Isha sheyesh b'havaya. Even though she's ra'oi for Kiddushin, this woman is ra'oi for Kiddushin when she becomes tohor. But nevertheless, in terms of the definition of the qualifications for knas, since right now it's Lotafsa Kiddushin, therefore there's no knas. That's what you see, this much you see in Rav Chisda. Because she yesh b'havaya right now, that's where there's knas. Okay, that's the statement of Rav Chisda. Now we have, according to Rashi, a totally different point, not connected to Rav Chisda. The Gemara says, Ulafuke midrav nechunya ben akana. As Rashi says, because Rashi explains what the Gemara is doing here is relating back to the Mishnah. Masnisin de mechayiv tashlumin. Right? We have the cases of Chai v'Krisus. Starting off the list is Ba'al Achoso, that the Mishnah says is Knas. V'afo pishem is Chayiv Kores b'biyaso, even though there's a Chayiv Kores on Achoso, that is against the Shita of Rav Nechunya, Mafka mid Rav Nechunya. And we're going to now proceed to quote Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who holds that there's a din of Kamei b'drav minei by Chayiv v'Krisus. So the way Rashi reads this line of Gemara, I'm emphasizing this for a reason, because as you see, if you haven't yet, Tosis is a different reading of this word, these words of the Gemara. According to Tosis, Ulafuke is connected back to Rav Chisda. Rashi's seeing this as totally independent. Rav Chisda said his piece, finished. Now the Gemara is commenting, relating to the Mishnah. In other words, we have Ulafuke on the Amud earlier, right? The Gemara commented there as well. Middle of the halfway down the Amud, Chav Tesam and Beis. Ulafuke me haitana desanya. So that was the first Ulafuke that the Gemara related to the Mishnah. That the Mishnah is Ulafuke, the Tanoim of Shem Batimni, of Shem Benasya. And now we have another observation of the Gemara, that the Mishnah is Ulafuke Rabbi Nechid Ben Akan. And he's on two different issues. When the Gemara says earlier Ulafuke, the Gemara is referring to both the Chai V'Lavin group and the Chai v'Krisus group. The Chai v'Lavin group is going to be Lafuke Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Menasya, who needs Ruya L'Kaima, and she's not Ruya L'Kaima, this case Chai v'Lavin. And the grouping of Chai v'Krisus is Lafuke who? Shimon Atimni, who says you need Isha Sheesh Ba'avaya. And that was the Lafuke on Daf Chav Tes in the Beis. Lafuke, the Tan of the Braisa that mentions the two Shittas that we just discussed. Now the Gemara's observation, again, rooted back and anchored back in the Mishnah, Lafuke is specifically to which grouping of the Mishnah? The Chai v'Krisus grouping, and for a different reason. The fact that the Mishnah is Mechayiv Knas in the cases of Achoso and so on, of Chai v'Krisus, that is against the Shita of the Tanur of Yerunchun Ben Akana, because of his Shita, that there's a Din Kam Ramenei that would exempt from the Chayiv Mammon of Knas because of the Karif. So just Pashup Shad, everyone understand, this is like a draw line from this Lafuke to the Lafuke on the Amud earlier, and it's basically the same basic structure of the Gemara. That's how Rashi reads this. Rashi's very precise in his words. Masnisin de mechayev tashlumin lebo achoso, despite the fact that bo achoso there's this new problem. Until now we weren't discussing this problem of Kamei d'Ramenei. We're discussing the problem of it not being an Isha Sheyesh Ba'avaya. That was what was on the table until now. But the second issue that can be raised in the cases of Achoso and the other cases is the consideration of Chimena Kanya's issue of Mischayev Benafsho, Mischayev Kares, Shepata from Tashumin. And we've seen the Mishnah that the Mishnah is not agreeing with Rav Nechunya Ben Akana. That's what the Gemara is commenting here. So let's see it again, the Gemara. Lafuke mid Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And now we're going to quote this Shita of Nechunya ben Akana. He's mentioned not all that many times in Shas. He's very famous, of course, for the tefillah that we say what? Before and after you go to learn Beis Medrash. With the Halach and Shulchan Aruch, to say it, right? That's his tefillah, the Mishnah and Brachas, right?
And
Atzel and Anu Lachoch, too. That's a Kabbalistic thing. Yeah, that's correct. But the tefillah of going to learn every day. That's they print in the Gemara. That's probably Ben Akana's tefillah. Yeah, and a few other places too, but not that many times. But this is one of the famous ones, this Shita. The Sanya. Rabbi Chunya ben Akana, Hayaose es Yom HaKippurim, Kish Shabbos l'tashlumin. Which means that he equated Yom Kippur with Shabbos regarding that he would not have to pay if he incurs a chiyuv, an onesh, for violating Yom Kippur in the same way that would be true by Shabbos. Ma Shabbos, mischai b'nafsho upatim n'tashlumin. Just like a person who does an aveir of chiyuv Shabbos that brings with it a chiyuv mamon, he's exempt from the chiyuv mamon. Af Yom HaKippurim, and we'll see the makor in a second. Af Yom HaKippurim, mischai b'nafsho upatim n'tashlumin. Just like there's a classic din of Kam Vavnei by a chiyuv mamon, a mitzvah based in, that patters from tashlumin. So Rav Chinam HaKanu is saying the same thing is true by Yom Kippur. If a person does an act on Yom Kippur that's mechayivim kares, so he would not have to pay a chiyuv mamon that be incurred at the same time. What are the cases? What are we discussing? Zok Rashi. Es Yom HaKippurim kishabbos. So what's the case that he has in mind? Liftor hamadlik es hagadish b'yom HaKippurim ki igu hidliko b'shabbos. The din is that if a person is madlik gadisho shel chavero, so he's chayv mamon for being mazik. Someone is he's mazik, another person's mamon, and he's also chayv on Shabbos misas based it. If it were Yom Kippur, the onus is not misas based, and the onus is what kares. So this is what Rav Chunya Kanu says. He equates Yom Kippur Shabbos that if someone is madlik on Yom Kippur the Gadish, so it's the same thing as if he's madlik on Shabbos. Ma Shabbos shehu misas based in the din is patur min hatashlumin. Now here Rashi has to give us more insight into why the case of madlik Gadish Rashi more or less stated by Yom Kippur and by Shabbos as ki'ilu hidliko b'Shabbos. The din is clear, and the din is actually a Mishnah above a Kama as well. The Mishnah above a Kama in the third parrot has the case of Madli Gadish B'Shabbos. The Mishnah is a Dafgam Dalad and Mabez. It's contrasting Shor versus the person. If the Shor did such an action, then he'd be Chai for the Hezek. And if a person did such an action, he'd be Pater because he's incurring a Chiyav Misa at the same time. So it says, Shoro shehidlik es hagadish b'shabes chayim, v'hu shehidlik es hagadish b'shabes pater. And the Mishnah concludes mipnei shehu mischayev v'nafsho, which is basically the din of kimrei v'drab minei in the case specifically of madlik gadisho shochavero b'shabes. That's the Mishnah above a Kama. But Rashi wants you to understand more than just the din itself and the principle at work, but the reason behind it, the makor. That's what Rashi sends us now to the Mishnah later. When the Gemara elaborates and says, Ma Shabbos, Shimi says, bathed in, Parta Minatashlumin. Okay, we know it's true from the Mishnah above a Kama that we just quoted, but the question is why? Why is Madlik Gadish B'Shabbos Parta from Tashlumin? So Rashi says, because of what we find, the Mishnah later gives us the rationale, the source. Kitnan B'Masnishin Gavi Baal Bito. The Yalef La Mivelo Ya'asan Anash Yanish. We have to explain a little bit what this makar is. But I think it's important to just read the Rashi. What we were, Yosef was bothering me this morning about this in a good way. In other words, what is Rashi jumping, so to speak, from the case of Gadish, or with Yocharusa, right? Okay, the credit. Okay, Mishem Omro, right? Okay, Avram. The Rashi starts by the case of Gadish, that equates the case of Gadish, Madlik Gadish Yom Kippur, to Madlik Gadish on Shabbos. Rashi says that ki'i would look up Shabbos. So if I were to comment on the next words of the Bryce, so what would I say? Ma Shabbos yimisus based upon tashlumin. In what case? In the case of Madlik Gadish, and it is a Mishnah after all. And what did Rashi say? Ketnad b'masnisin gabbal bito. What's the pshat in the words of Rashi? Rashi is saying patim that tashlumin. How do I know? I know that Madlik Gadish B'Shabbos is part of from the Mishnah Ksubas Lamed Vav. That can't be Pshat Rashi. You don't need Ksubas Lamed Vav to tell me Madlik Gadish B'Shabbos is part of that Tashlumin. I have Bava Kama Lamed Aleph for that. So I think you have to read the Rashi differently. Kidetnan is not the reference for the din. What is it a reference for?
Source.
For the source. So, Rashi says, Padanatsuma, why? Like it says in the Mishnah, the reason why. That's how you read the Rashi. The what is not, you don't have to jump cases and switch cases to tell me the what. The case that we're dealing with is Matli Gadish. So I have a Mishnah that gives me the case of Matli Gadish Pater. They want to know why it's Pater, and it's important to know because it's going to be relevant for the Hemshech HaGemara. When we're going to want to explain why is Yom Kippur the same, and we have two explanations, Abaya's reason is going to actually work off of the Mokker that we use for Shabbos. So it's helpful to already know it now. So that's what Rashi is doing. As a good pedagogue, Rashi is giving you, leading you on, because it's going to make things smoother as we go, as we continue along. I think that Pashup Shan reading the Rashi. And I wasn't only on it until you brought it up, so I appreciate it. But Mamish, that's how you read the Rashi. That's how you have to read the Pshat and the Rashi. So now, this is, so Af Yom HaKippurim, let's just finish the next Rashi, Shehu Bekares, Chiv Nefesh Huzeh, Upatim Natashumin. Interesting expression, Chiv Nefesh Huzeh. It's a Chiv Nefesh. Rashi is not taking sides on the Mokker of Chiv Ben HaKanya yet. This is later, Abai and Rava. Rava is the one that says that the Mokker is based on the Pasuk in Kedoshim, and he explains, Karas Shui Kimisa Shalachem. Abai has a different way. But the answer is, the bottom line is the same, whether you get it through Rav or get it through Abaye. The pshat is that the chiyuv kares is a chiyuv nefesh. And that's enough to patim natashum. In other words, it's not dafka chiyuv misa's based in. It can be misa bidei shamayim, misa kares. It has the same halacha, the koach to patim from tashum. So Rashi is saying something true according to everybody. Now, Rashi quotes the Mishnah on Lamed Vav. Right? Ma Shabbos is part of Nata Shulman. How do I know? Like it says in Mishnah. The Mishnah on Lamed Vav gives us more than the Mishnah of Bavakama Lamed Dalet. Mishnah Lamed Dalet just gives me the what. Why you Patim? It says Chay Benafsha. What does the Mishnah, that's the case of Madli Gadish B'Shabbos. What does the Mishnah Lamed Vav say? Haba Al Bito and all the other cases of Chay Mises Beis Din, Enlan Knas. Neshem is chayy benafsho, shemisasan bidei beizdin. Here the Mishnah is emphasizing the fact that it's misas beizdin against avachon ben akon. Dekom is chayy benafsho, emeshalin mamon. Shenamar imlo yasan anosh yanish. It's important to notice something interesting. In other words, the Mishnah. Is the Mishnah is Afuke Bevchim Ben Akana. That was the whole point of what started us off here. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. Notice that the language of the Mishnah, how precise it is, both on Daf Lamed Vav and over here on Chavtes. When the Mishnah concludes on Chavtes, the cases of Yeshua and Knas, what does the Mishnah say? Yeshua and Knas, Afal Pi, Shehein what? Afal Pi Shehein, Bikores, Ein Bemisus Bezdin. That's mamish the dagesh of this gemara. That's the pshat in the gemara. La'afuke. Now the Mishnah is screaming la'afuke. The gemara is observing it, but the gemara didn't take too much to see it in the words. The Mishnah is shrying chay v'kayim. Even though it's kares, don't equate that to mises beisdin. And that's why the Mishnah elaborates on the sefer of the Mishnah and says, aha, neshem is chay ben nafsho shemisasen bidei beisdin. It's only Mises based in that has this halacha. The Kor Mischai ben Nafsho Emeshalim Mamon Shalem. What exactly is this drasha? The Mishnah has the language Shenemar Imlo Yehasan Anash Yonish. It's not precise, those words in the Mishnah. Why isn't it precise? And the Magia, right? The Mashash. They change it on it. They have the pasuk on the side of the Gemara. What does the pasuk actually say? What's the story and what's the drasha? The story is Parshas Mishpatim, toward the beginning, Sheni and Shlishi. Two people are arguing, and physically at blows with each other. Chinatzu anashim, v'nagfu isha hara, v'yatzu yuladah. As part of this physical altercation between two people, the casualty became a woman who happened to be a bystander who was pregnant. And the pasuk says, "V'yatsa yiladeh," she aborted because of this. Then the pasuk adds, "V'lo yiyasa," and there will not be a casualty. It means death. "V'lo yiyasa." So then, what's the din? What does the pasuk continue with? Then what? "Anoshi anish," which means they have to pay mama. The onesh is got, like it says by Motzi Shemra also, v'anshu also mea kesef. When you find the word onesh, I think those are the only two times in Chumash you find the word onesh, I think. You find it, you know, in the Mishnais all the time, but in Torah you have it twice. And both times it has to do with the chiyav mama. "Anosh ye onesh." Maybe I'm wrong, I think so. "Kasha yashis ala baga isha v'nasan b'flilin." That's called the mei v'lados. The Mishnais discuss it again in exactly what the chiyuv is in Bava Kama, the chiyuv of Dmei Vlados. So it says, "V'lo yia asam." Now the next pasuk says, "V'im asam yia," and if there will be death, sudden death from this, "V'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh." And it goes on, "Ayin tachas ayin," the famous psukim "Ayin tachas ayin." So first of all, just in terms of the grammar of the Mishnah, so there's something wrong in the words that we have in the Mishnah as it appears in our Gemara. Shenema v'im lo yia asan onesh yonesh. Doesn't say that. What does it say in the pasuk? V'lo yia asan. V'lo yia asan. V'im is in the next pasuk. V'im asan. Okay. So now, what are we trying to extrapolate here? We're trying to get. Where do we want to get from here? We want to get to the point that if there's a chi of misa, there won't be a chiyav mama. That's what we're trying to derive. Exactly what is it that we see in this pasuk to speak to that issue? What's the pasuk shot in the pasuk? You look at Rashi in Chumash. "V'lo yia asan," what does it mean? Won't be an asan in who? What's the story here? Two people are fighting, and then a woman aborts. As a result, she was a bystander, and she was pregnant. So then, "V'lo yia asan," so we know what happened. The fetuses didn't come out alive. So what does it mean, "V'lo yia asan"? Who?
In the woman.
That's what Rashi says in Chumash. "V'lo yia asan be'isha." "Anoshi anesh," Zakt Rashi, being Rashi in Chumash, "l'shalim dmei v'lados l'bal, shamin osa kama yisrael yalimacha b'shuka, halos b'damea ho'chesh bin," exactly the formula called dmei v'lados. And they collect, "yigvu mimenu mamon k'mo," like Rashi quotes the other passage, "v'anshu osa mea kesef." It says, "anosh," it means mamon. So that's if the woman did not die. And then you pay the baal the value of the bloodus. Then the pasuk continues, next pasuk is "v'im ason yiyah." So meaning what? Who? In the woman. Rashi again, Rashi in Chumash, "ason yiyah v'isha." So let's read on. So then if the woman does die, so again, Reuben and Shimon are having a physical fight. And meanwhile, this woman, Leah, is there. So in a case where it was just the fetus that was aborted, then they paid the Mevladus money. Let's say Leah died as a result. Reuben wanted to beat up Shimon, and unfortunately, he was shooting at Shimon, and the bull went and strayed and killed Leah. His intention wasn't to kill Leah, right? But then what? The nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. So what's the pshat? So Rashi quotes the rest of important machlokas. Mentioned later in this parak as well. It's alluded to in the sugyas later. It's also in Sanhedrin Ayin Tes, and it's in Bava Kama. The famous Machlokes Rebbe and the Chachamim. My reference is it over here. Lamed Gimon Beis. It's referenced, I believe. Let's check it out. It's later in the parak. Oh, yeah. Or is it the Yitzhak? Based on base, whatever it is, it's a few daf in the head from us. So Rashi quotes, Machlokes is as follows. Does it mean that Reuven is Chayiv Misa? Reuven wanted to hit Shimon, and he was hitting Shimon, and he ended up killing Leah. So V'nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh could mean that Reuven is Chayiv Misa. He's Rotzeach. Yesh Omim Nefesh Mamish. V'yesha omrim mamon. Avolo nefesh mamish. Some say, v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh means that Reuven has to pay nezek. It's a formula. Why doesn't he have to pay with his life? Why not? He was a ritzeach. Why? Because of accident. He was not niskaven to kill this woman. Shamiskaven, Shamiskaven, Misa, and therefore rather Misham Liyarshav Damav Kimosh Ayanim Kabish. That's the Pashab Shat in the Sukkah. So they have in Loya Ason Anoshi Anish, meaning Beisha, and the Im Ason Yiya, then if the woman does die, then either Nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, then he has the Schaiv Misa, or Nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, he has to pay Mamu, meaning Nezek for the loss of life. Like it says after, Ayin Tachas Ayin, which of course means Mamu. So Nefesh Tachas Nefesh also means Mamu. Now, what does that have to do with the drasha that we're discussing? We're discussing a drasha of what? Of Kim Dramine. That a person is Chayiv Misa with this action, is Chayiv Pater from Mamu. And what does the Mishnah say? What is it that we darshan? So we have to change the words a little bit. Not v'im lo ye ason anosh, v'lo ye ason anosh anish. Okay, so what is it that we're darshaning? So Rashi says on the Mishnah, a few words. What does Rashi say in the Mishnah Lamed Vav? Ha'im ye ason lo ye anish. If there'll be ason, that means that there'll be a chiyuv misa, then lo yonish, there'll be no chiyuv mamu. What kind of chiyuv misa are we talking about? Im yi asa. And what does it mean, ha'im yi asa lo yonish? You have the pasuk. You don't need to infer it from the resha. It says, im asa yi. What's going on here? So what I'm going to tell you right now is straight out of the Shita later on the Rashi. The Shita Mekubetzus on the Rashi later is Masbir very well what's going on here. You have already a sense. What is it?
The second pasuk doesn't tell you that he's not also going
to pay. So that's good. He mentions this. Good. In the second pasuk, it doesn't say he's part of a mamon. We have two ways to read the second pasuk. V'im asom yiyah. So v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. Either means mamon and not misa, because iskavin l'argizeh v'argizeh is... is pater from Misa. But even if it means that v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh Misa, does it say Misa not Mamu? No, maybe Misa in addition to Mamu. So there's nothing, you really can't maneuver in that pasuk to extrapolate what, that there's a chi of Misa, you're pater from Mamu. Even if it means chi of Misa, you don't see chi Misa and not Mamu. You see chi Misa. And if it means mamon, then b'chal, there's nothing there to tell you about coming drab mina. So, whatever you do in the second pasuk, however you taich v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, you can either taich it like Rebbe, like the Chacham, the Machokas Tanoim, whether it means chiyamisa chiyamamon. Either way, you're not going to be able to learn anything about coming drab mina being parted from mamon. If it means mamon, then it's nothing to do with coming drab mina. You're chayv mamon. If it means chiyamisa, it doesn't say parted from mamon. So that pasuk is simply not a mucker for anything that we're trying to learn out right now. So what do we do instead? We look at the earlier pasuk. Those words obviously are redundant. Why do you have to say v'lo yia ason? It says in mason yia next pasuk. So until now, it's obviously lo yia ason. So the answer is that there's something more to learn in these words v'lo yia ason. And here Rashi says ha'im yia ason lo yia anesh. Here you have to modify something. What ason is being discussed in the drasha of the Mishnah? Until now, we've been assuming the us, and the way Rashi and Chumash says it, v'lo yason the pshuto shel mikra. What is the pshad v'lo yason? Who didn't die? The woman didn't die. And then, if she did die, that's the next pasuk. And then we have to figure out what's the din if niskav l'arizeh v'arizeh chayiv miso chayiv mamu. But there's another potential sudden death that could have occurred here. Not Leah, but Shimon. Reuven and Shimon having a physical fight, right? Cain and Hevel, right? Just had this parasha. So whatever it is, this possibility of death. Shimon could have died. Reuven could have killed Shimon. So that's the drush. That we understand what the Mishnah is saying, and Rashi is saying on the Mishnah. V'lo yia asan anash yanesh, we have the following drush. That if there'll be ason, if Reuven will kill Shimon, and he'll be chayiv misa for killing Shimon. And here already it's clear it's chayiv misa because he's niskaving to Shimon. The woman, there was no kavana to kill. So that's a shayla whether he's chayiv misa for that or not. But if Reuven killed Shimon, that's certainly a basis to mechayiv misa. And here the Torah is trying to teach us something. V'lo ye'asan anash ye'anish. Take those words and freeze them in a box. What is the drasha to make from those five words? V'lo ye'asan anash ye'anish. That if Reuven kills Shimon, if Reuven is chayiv misa for killing Shimon, there is no chiyuv mamon. It's only because there's no chiyuv misa here that we can discuss chiyuv mamon. But if there'll be a chiyuv misa, then there's no chiyuv mamon. That's the source for coming back. That's what the Mishnah says. And more or less, what I just told you is straight out of the Shita Mikubetz, is Pirish Lepirish Rashi on that Mishnah. Yeah?
You could say his understanding of the pasuk, even though both of them were intending to kill each other. So both of them are intending to kill each other. Although it's true they both had the intention, at the end of the day, the other person's trying to kill him, so he has to kill the other person first. Right? So you'd be chayv misa for that kind of situation?
Why not? You mean like you say, no,
in a way,
because it's a road race.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call two people fighting. I don't call that a case of road race. I mean, two people are fighting. And for, I mean, who says...
If one person stops fighting, he gets killed.
You know. I don't know what goes into a case of Rode, but it just sounds like, for all you know, it's not even about defending. Let's say Reuven was fighting with Shimon, and they just, you know, Reuven decides to up the ante and be tougher and be more aggressive, and next thing you know, he kills Shimon. So it's not like he was being defending himself. Shimon was very tame, and Reuven decided to suddenly come over the top. I mean, so that's not a Rode situation. He's my mission. He's the Rode. He's not defending himself. I mean, it could be any number of cases like that. Lemaisa. The drasha is basically rooted in the first pasuk of lo ya'asan, but understand it's a different issue of asan than the pshuto shel mikra, and what the next pasuk's asan is discussing. You read the pshukim in chumash, the sense that you get is the asan that's being discussed in lo ya'asan and the asan that's discussed in asan yia is relating to the casualty of the woman, and the question of whether you know what is the price that has to be paid for that. In a case where she didn't die, or she did die, and that's different tanayim, and what it means is nefeshtachas nefesh, and the whole separate sugya. But meanwhile, there's a different thing that we are honing in on, and that is v'lo ya'asan anashi anesh. That's what we're focusing on as the makar for kimul b'drav mine, and here we're discussing a chiyuv misa for hore niskavin gairo ges chaver v'hore ges chavero, and a case like that would not bring with it a chiyuv mamon. And that's the drasha of anashi anesh, only because lo ya'asan there could be a basis for chiyuv mamon. There's more to say, but for now, this is basically the simple pshat in the drasha. Now, that's what Rashi is trying to do when Rashi says, but sends us to the Mishnah Lamed Vav. When Chori ben Akana is going to say that there's a din of coming around today even by chayv krisus, and he was equating Yom Kippur to Shabbos. The case, the classic case he's discussing is Madlik es Hagadish B'Yom HaKippurim. And for him, it's the same halacha as Madlik es Hagadish B'Shabbos, that you don't have to pay for the damage that you caused. And just like Shabbos, Pater Min HaTashlumin, in what case? Presumably the same case. The case of Madlik es Hagadish B'Shabbos, which is a Mishnah Bava Kama Lama Dalet. But Rashi wants you to get beyond just the din itself. Rashi wants you to get you to the source of the din. So Rashi explains, Patev Nat Tashlumin, by Madlik Es Hagadish, Patev Nat Tashlumin, how do I know? Like I know it from the Mishnah later, the other case of Mises Beis Din, that Patev. Kidnan B'mas Nisim, Gabi Baal Bito, V'yalef, Rami V'gol Yosan, Anashi Yonash. As we just explained. Says Rav Hanan Kanya, back to us, Af Yom HaKippurim, which is Kares, Chiyuv Nefesh Huzeh. The Chidush is to define the Chiyuv Kares in a certain way that has in it the same qualities as Chiyuv Misa. Therefore, he equates it for the din l'tashlumin that you're putter from paying. Why? Why he says it? The Makar seemingly is speaking about Chiyuv Misa's Beis Din. That's what's coming up in the Gemara. But what Rav Hanan Kanya says is clearly that Chiyuv Nefesh is not just Mises Beis Din even Chayiv Karis. The Mishnah is la'afuke him, and the Mishnah is making it very clear that it's la'afuke him. That way Rashi reads the Gemara, it's basically taking the words of the Mishnah, just highlighting them. That even though these cases are bikares, doesn't matter. And the other cases does matter, because that's Mrs. Beis Din. And that's basically what the Gemara is doing, just simply telling us what the Mishnah is saying, just spelling it out. For the sake of, obviously, just elaborating on Chumer Kaneshita. This is mentioned a couple of other times in Shas, the Shita of Chumer Kaneshita. I gave you two of them. One is in Megillah. I don't know what Megillah, I imagine, right? The Ein Bein Mishnais in the first parak. So the Mishnah says, Ein Bein Shabbos Yom HaKippurim. There's no difference in Shabbos and Yom Kippur except for the following. She says, don't obedei Adam, she says, don't be karis. That the mezid, the punishment by Shabbos, Chilu Shabbos be mezid, is skila, and by Yom Kippur, it's karis. Says the Gemara, that's it. It sounds like Hagayin Tashlum and Zevezeh Shabbat. So the Mishnah is implying that regarding the halacha of whether Yachayev Mamon at the time that the person is Mischayev the Onesh for what he did B'mezid, that Yom Kippur and Shabbos are exactly the same in the sense that there'll be no Chayev Mamon because of the Chayev Chamor that he incurs. So therefore, who is the one that would hold like this? So here, it's not La'afuke for Chum Benakanya. Here, it's actually a Mishnah that's consistent with Chum Benakanya. Right? Mani Masnisim, says the Gemara, who is our Mishnah going like? Rabbi Chun Ben Akani, the Sanya, and the Gemara quotes, the Braisa that quotes over here as well. So here we actually have a Mishnah that does follow Yochanan Kanes Shita. By contrast, in Shavuos Lamed Gimel, you have another Lafuke, just like we have over here, a Lafuke Mchmin Akana. The Mishnah discusses, this is Shavuos Ha'edus, if somebody has information that if he would testify on behalf of somebody else, that person would be able to collect mamon. And he deprives that person of being zochin in the mamon b'din by withholding the testimony. So that's the parasha called Shavuos Ha'edus. So certain types of chiyuvim, if a person makes him swear that he doesn't have edus, and he does so, and he really does have edus to testify, then he has to bring what karban? No? And the parashas Vayikra? No? Somebody? Olaviyorit. One of the kids of Olaviyorit. Good. So the Mishnah highlights different types of tvios, claims, monetary claims. And the question is, would it be true by a knas as well, or only by mamon? Because knas, the chiv is not necessarily finalized. After all, there's a way out. How can you get out of the Chiyuv Knas, possibly? If you're molded. So is it really clear that if it's a Chiyuv Knas that he's withholding testimony about, that there's a Chiyuv Oviyorid? So from the words of Mishnah, many cases are brought. It sounds like even Knas is included, because it mentions Nezek, Chatzi Nezek. Chatzi Nezek, we assume, is one opinion is it's Knas. Tashumi Keifel is certainly Knas. Dalad Vehei. Anasas biti, pitas biti, that's for sure knas by on the Chabishim Kesef. And then you have also mentioned Hidikis Gadisha B'Yom HaKippurim, which is a Chiyuv Mamon. So the Gemara is discussing this inyan, and the Gemara discusses the issue of knas, and says that there's no rai here that knas is also enough to make a chiyuv of oviyored by Shavuos Ha'edus, because you could touch all these cases not referring to the knas aspect of these chiyuvim, but chiyuv mamon. Chatzi nezek could be a case of tzroros, which is told of regel, which is really mamon, and tkefel could refer to the keren, not to the kefel, and dalad vei could refer to the keren, and onas umefata could refer to not to the knas chamishin kesef, but to what? What other tashumin are the boshes upagam, which is nezek, and boshes, which is mamon. So the Gemara says, so maika mashmalan, by bringing all these cases, it's all mamon. The Gemara says, reisha chada kamashmalan, sefer chada kamashmalan. That there's a chidush in the earlier part of the Mishnah, by referring to the case of Chatzi Nezek Tzvaros, that's Mammon, which is a Chiddush. And then the Gemara says, but Seifa, Chadakamashmon, there's something in the Seifa that's there for the Chiddush, and that is the fact that the Mishnah mentions among the various cases that there'd be a Chiyav Mammon, that this person is telling the person he should testify about, that he could now be Chai, he can collect money. What case does the Mishnah mention? Sheidikas Gadishi Biyoma Kippurim. By saying that that's a case that this person would be able to collect tashlumin for that, la'afuke mai, la'afuke min b'chinim ben akana, the sanya, b'chinim akana haya also yikbe b'shabbos, with the shulam, mas shabbos, and so on. Rashi says, la'afuke min b'chinim akana, the amr ha'chad v'mishchayev kars patim min tashlumin. So Rashi says, once he says that, he mentions the case of Hikani Bini, which is not really a chiddush of that sort at all, but it just mentions Derech Agav. So we have a Lafukim Rechunya in Ksuvis, we have a Lafukim Rechunya in Shmuel and Gimel, we have a Mishnah that actually starts with Rav Nechunya in Megillah. This would be Nogea, we get to Tosfos in terms of whether in fact it could be Shitas like Rav Nechunya. We do have at least the Mishnah Megillah that starts with Rav Nechunya. Okay. Now that we get into the meat of the sugya. So where does Rav Nechunya get this from? That the din of Kamdam extends to Chorus as well. Zakti Gemara. My taima to Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Why does he say that Kamdamine that we learn out of Loya Asan Anashi Anesh, which is a case of Chivmis is based in? So how does he know that Kares also has the same halacha to patim natashlumin? Amar Abaye, nemar ason bidei adam, v'nemar ason bidei shamayim. Ma ason amur bidei adam, patim natashlumin. Af ason amur bidei shamayim, patim natashlumin. We find the word ason mentioned bidei adam. We also find it bidei shamayim. And since we find the word ason in both cases, so we have a way to darshan, I don't know if we call it exactly Xerah Shava, but something of the sort that sheds light and informs us that the ason bidei shamayim would have the same ability to patim natashlumin. What are these two asons? So Rashi explains, ason bidei adam is the pasuk we just were discussing. The lo yia ason, the mishtoi b'misas beizdin. That's discussing Mises based in Lemeimar. Tehecha Dereka Mises based in Misharim Dmei Vlados. There is no Mises based in for whatever Ritzicha. There's a Chiv Dmei Vlados. We've been saying it means for killing the other guy. I suppose once we know the halacha, it can also be read into the Asan of the woman also. If you hold your Chai for Niskam Gavis of Hergazet, then there'll be a Din Kamad Ravinei. On that Chiyav Misa, so therefore we know Asam Bidei Adam, and we know that it's Patras Minat Tashlumin, and it also says Asam Bidei Shamayim B'Kavrahu Asam. This is the story of Yosef and his brothers in Parshas Miketz, when Yosef is in Mitzrayim, and the brothers have to go down to get food, and they're told the first time that they went down that they can only come back if they bring the younger brother, based on the story that they told this Tzafnas Panech, and Yaakov is reluctant. And what does Yaakov say to them? I can't let you take Binyamin, because if you take him, then what's going to be? The Karahu Ason. Ason always means a calamity, a sudden death, right? So he's going to die suddenly in his youth. So what does it mean there? Ason is Bidei Shamayim. So what is Abaye saying? So in the fact that we find the word Ason used in the context of Bidei Adam, and we find it in the context of Bidei Shamayim, so we can therefore extrapolate that the Ason, Bidei Shamayim, has the same halacha of Ason, Bidei Adam, that it will also patur min hatashlum. Could be it's like a Gili Milsa. I have to know what kind of a drasha this is. Pnei Yeshua struggles to understand exactly the nature of this. Is it a Xerah Shav exactly? It's hard to say exactly. Xerah Shav. We're not discussing Kamvin Ramine in the case of Parshas Miketz, right? Okay. But you find the word Ason used in the case of Deshamayim. But we plug in Now, Rashi teached earlier in Chumnat Kani that it's a chiyuv nefesh. So it could be all you need to know is just some kind of a gilui milsa that kares is called a chiyuv nefesh. Kares is equal in terms of its, the heftz of kares is a heftz of misa's bezdin, is a heftz of misa, of an onesh of misa. So you can see that by the fact that the Torah uses the word asam in two different contexts. One be de Adam, one be de Shamayim. So you see, B'dei Shemaim has it's a chefs of a chi of Misa. Maybe that's all you really need to do. Or maybe there's something more here in terms of the drush. We'll have to see if there's an afkamina, how you learn it. We'll get to this. But so far, that's a baye. Yeah, Ari.
Why is it not exertion?
I'm not saying it's not, for sure it's not. But it's exertion shava usually means that if I have the word in two different places, and halacha is true about one place, then when I find the word in the other place, I bring the halacha that's in the first place to the second place, and it applies in that scenario, in that situation. There's no halacha rooted in Parshas Miketz that has to do with Kamid Rav Mineh. It's a word asam that you happen to find in Parshas Miketz that's discussing asam bidei shemayim. So there's no Kamid Rav Mineh to plug into Parshas Miketz. So it doesn't have the same trappings of Gzeres Shava in that regard. Doesn't mean it can't be Gzeres Shava. I'm not precluding the possibility. But it could also be something different. It's just a way of enlightening us that there's a common link between the fact that Torah uses the word us in one way and a different way and the same word that means at the end of the day, and don't forget the first Asun actually has associated with it, the din of Kamid Rav Mineh, so you can now assume that the same halacha would apply in the other type of Asun. This is what Abaye says. Now we're going to get into a Shaka Vitari about what exactly is the definition of Bidei Shemayim versus Bidei Adam. And what exactly is it that we're trying to read into the case of Asun of Yaakov to define it as an Asun Bidei, Asun Bidei, what? Bidei Shamay. Maskevar of Acha bar Maskevar of Ad bar Ahava. Mimai dechikamazir hu Yaakov lebnei. Altsinim upachim de bidei shamayim ninu. Dilma al Arya veganvei de bidei Adam ninu. So Rav Ad bar Ahava is wondering. In order for Abaye to justify his drasha, he has to see in Yaakov Avinu's warning of the Karo Ason a reference to his concern that what could happen, there could be a calamity that's called Bidei Shamayim. Now, in Rav Ad bar Ahava's mind, what's an example of Bidei Shamayim? Sinim Upachim. Sinim Upachim means from the cold or from the heat. The elements, the climate is going to affect the fragile composition of this person, of their body, and that will cause them to die. The change in temperature, too cold, too hot. That, for Rav Ad bar Ahava, is defined as Bidei Shamayim. Another potential calamity that could be read into the words of Yaakov, Karo Ason, is he could be eaten up by a lion, or attacked by bandits. That is clearly, in Rav Ad bar Ahava's mind, an example of a calamity that's viewed as Bidei Adam. Why would that be? Because people did it. People, it came about through not, so to speak, natural, the climate. It's people acting.
Lions,
okay. Good. So what's the pshat? You're right. Lions are not people. They have free will. So why is that called Bidei Adam? Okay. What?
Wanted to let
him
free.
They'll free. Okay. They're going to let him out. What?
Perhaps you have a weapon.
If it's the natural elements, that's Bidei Shamayim. How to put it exactly? It's not free will of the lion.
It's called
what?
It's called
what?
It's called
well, it's another agent. It's not like
it's an agent, right? And the weather is not an agent. What do you, what, say better.
Not, not really. It's just like the natural. It's always a constant.
Changes. It changes. Weather changes. That's constant. That's the point. Sinim v'pachim is because it's changing. The change in temperature is what causes the person to get sick and die. Right? Could. So why is that different than the lion?
So when they ask on Sinim v'pachim the Shemayim,
that we're going to ask in a second, right? But right now, in Rabbi Avi's conception,
right,
this is Bidei Adam. We wonder why.
Yeah, but it seems that the reason they thought it was Bidei Shemayim is because the reason that they now think it might be Bidei Adam because you can avoid it. Because from the Pasuk in Mishlei, Shorin of Shoyer Chafin.
No.
So maybe they were thinking that Sinim Pachim you cannot avoid. But Aryeh and Navim, you can avoid.
But that's the other way. We're trying to explain about the Ba'avas thinking. His thinking is that Sinim u'pachim is bidei shamayim. The Gemara is going to turn it around because of the kasha. The Gemara is going to ask on each point. The Gemara is going to turn it around. Sinim u'pachim is actually bidei adam, and Arya Ganvi is really bidei shamayim. So the Gemara is going to say, you're right. That's how you have to put it in that way. But right now, Vada Ba'ava's conception, what we see, we have to know what this Shakratari is about, obviously. But just push a pshat to have a pshat in the Gemara. Why is he thinking? So you could say, you know, again, by Ganvi, it's easier. You could say animals have some element of free will. What?
In
Noach, so what? You have that. You have it. What do you have? It's Shobech Lama Adam, but Shafech. But if anything, then you have a Kishbok who sends the animals. Is it? The thing is,
in Bereshis, when there's the black. Roman explains the heter of Hila after Noah. He says, but before they're similar to men, someone concerned they had some sechel.
The Ramban has some comment about animals. They have some kind of a ruach, some kind of a neshama. They have a natural instinct to run away from something. So that element, it's bechira in the sense that it's a living creature that's acting on its impulses. I think that would maybe be the way to look at it. If it's a living creature acting out, so it could be a living creature of an animal, it could be a human being. It doesn't have to be based on a cognitive process, the same way the human being is. If it's still a matter of choice on some level, as a function of the living organism that makes a choice. It's not the same thing as the weather. Yeah, I think it's more like that. But what are you going to say?
I forget if this is a real idea or not, but.
A disclaimer. Okay, it was set, registered. Okay. Yeah.
But that, an animal can only kill a person if the person has a chesronos, so the animal is like medamer to an animal himself.
How is this going to help us?
So, bidei adam, it's just like we're going to say tinum ha'acham there, in case like you can protect yourself from it. So
but we're not there yet. See, we're holding at the point of the Gemara. That Sinim u'pachim is bidei shamayim, and Aryeh v'Ganvi is bidei adam.
But it's the same idea that this, the only way he's killed by an Aryeh if he's got chesronos that he could have avoided. And
so that's called bidei. That's called bidei.
No, so that's
what so that's Hashem. That's what we're saying. But right now we're assuming it's bidei adam. What defines bidei adam? What defines as bidei adam? What is the criterion of Vada Ba'ava's mind? For him to ask this question, so he's asking, maybe Yaakov was only mazir on those things that be the adam, such as what? Such as Ari v'ganvi. That's for Avada Baravas, that's be the adam. Wonder why that's called be the adam more than sinim u'pachim. So to distinguish sinim u'pachim from ganvi, it's easy. Because ganvi are people, and sinim u'pachim is nature running its course. So you have to say something along the lines that the animal doing anything is not nature running its course. It's a living organism flexing its muscles is different than the weather doing its thing. The weather is more of a bidei shamayim. Once you're talking about creatures, be it an animal, be it a human being, it's creatures acting out in the way that they act out. That's already for the Gemara. That's for now, at least in the Gemara, that's called bidei adam. I mean, I'm listening to what else, but let's see what you know.
So
this could be totally.
Okay, okay. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay.
With elements, although you can protect yourself by putting on a jacket, or you can protect yourself by going inside your house, you can never actually stop the elements from occurring. I mean, they're still going to be going on. It's still going to be very hot outside. It's still going to be very cold outside. In terms of an animal, you actually can kill the animal, right? The animal will stop attacking you if you kill it. It's not just a protection. It's your.
You can't
stopping.
Shoot the weather.
Right. You can't shoot the weather. Exactly.
So, right, and that's why we thought.
Okay, that's not that smart. So what are you saying? So therefore what? That's called bidei shamayim, because you can only contain it. You can't control. You can affect your reaction to it. You can't actually change the actual stimulus. We're trying to use. We'll use a. You know. Yeah, we'll try to use a precise language. It's a stimulus, stimulus, whatever it is. So can you? You can act on yourself, or you can act on the stimulus. So you're saying. That's what would define bidei adam versus bidei shamayim. Bidei shamayim means you can only act on yourself. You can't act on the thing. It's
right.
You can't control the weather. You can only mitigate it, and how to react to it. Whereas you have control over the. So anything that's a function of what you can control, that's called bidei adam. At least according to Bada Barava. Okay, it's a svar right here. That's a svar. Yeah, it's Isaac.
Just build off what Bruce said.
Yes, are you what to say there? This way? It's interesting. Okay.
Wish
it was this good.
But maybe it's just not like the weather is like limitless. Whereas like an Aryeh's cough and then it has a certain limit. Also human beings have a certain limit. But like weather, like you can't gauge it with it. Like say like, oh, it can only rain this much. It can only...
Okay, saying a variation, you're saying very similar.
Also, maybe you could say something like the idea that, bidei shamayim, take it literally, that comes from shamayim, and then.
Okay, let's come back to Gemara. Okay, good. So again, maskefar, so let's hold cup in the Gemara. So maskefar ad barav. So we had this limit of Abaye that wants to take the din of Kamed Ramine that we find by Asson. That's mentioned by bidei adam, and we see by bidei shamayim should have the same halacha because karahu ason is a case of ason bidei shamayim. On this, Rav Ad Rava asks, who says that the chikamazelu Yaakov lebnei, when Yaakov was warning his children of what might happen to Binyamin, what his concern was with alzinim upachim di bidei shamayim ninu? He was discussing matters relating to cold and heat, which is bidei shamayim. And that's why you have a right to learn out ason ason to say kamed ramine by kares. Dilma al aryeh veganvi debidei adam ninu. Maybe what Yaakov was warning about had to do with a matter which is bidei adam, such as aryeh veganvi. To which the Gemara responds. What do you mean? Atu Yaakov aha azir aha lo azir. Yaakov al kol mili azir. In other words. It's not like Yaakov was limiting his concern dafka to the case that would be bidei shamayim. That would be a case dafka bidei adam, such as you understand it, such as the case of Aryeh veganvi. He was just as concerned about sinim upachim. In other words, he was concerned about everything. So therefore, the fact that Yaakov also had in mind sinim upachim, which are bidei shamayim. So the fact that Yaakov had that as well is a basis to learn at us and us. Now the Gemara goes on a side point and says, okay, so we basically have a limud from us on us, and that's what Abaye said. But from this discussion that we just had, there are certain assumptions that the Gemara is going to question on two counts. In fact, the Gemara, and it's like a side digression that's going to be challenging the assumptions that went into this Shaka Vitari that we just read. In fact, the Gemara, what comes out of this conversation that we just recorded within Abaye's limud is that you're telling me b'tzinim u'pachim is called b'dei shamayim, and therefore you're saying Yaakov also had that in mind, even the b'dei shamayim, even b'tzinim u'pachim. Is that really true? B'tzinim u'pachim b'dei shamayim ninu v'hasanya. We have a braisa that says the following statement: Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz b'tzinim u'pachim. Everything is ordained from heaven, except for matters relating to the effects of heat and cold. And that's bidei adam. That's a function of a person, if a person will avoid those situations that could cause him to get compromises immune system based on changes in temperature, heat, and cold, then that's up to him. Shenemar tzinim pachim b'derech ikesh shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. We see from this pasuk in Mishlei, tzinim pachim b'derech ikesh shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. You see that it's within a person's ability to avoid the consequences of tzinim pachim. So you see that tzinim pachim is b'day adam. Hakol b'day shem chutz mitzinim pachim. It's interesting. You look at that pasuk; it's not 100% clear. Tzinim pachim means heat and cold, but that's how I see the Gemara takes it. You look at the Mefarshim on the pasuk; even the way the pasuk is reading, it's not necessarily like a. It's a drush that the Gemara has here, but the pasuk says, "Yeah, tzinim pachim derech ikei shomen after yichat mehem." It's a warning. Tzinim is like a thorn. But tzinim b'tzidechem. Rashi says these things, or maybe it means Gustin. Rashi says tzinim pachim, it could be even one thing. Tzinim pachim, these thorns, these obstacles that are in the road. It's meant for such a person, who lives a life of distortion, derech ikesh. They're going to have problems. Shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. Person who straightens out his soul will be far away from these casualties. It's a whole different reading of the pasuk. But the Gemara's drasha is tzinim pachim b'derech ikesh. The realities that come as a result of tzinim pachim, out of tzinim is cold, tzina, pachim is heat. Shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. It's up to you. You can protect yourself. In other words, it's not b'day shamayim. Hashem lets it be in the hands of a person. So, therefore, the kasha number one is, how can you phrase it in such a way, tzinim pachim is b'day shamayim, it's b'day adam. That's kasha number one. Look at Rashi here. Now, here, again, you can notice subtleties. Rashi and Tosis have a different reading. What does it mean, it's b'day adam? Rashi says, tzinim pachim kor v'chom, b'day shamayim, hakol b'day shamayim, except for tzinim pachim. Zok Rashi. Im ba'im per anios al ha'adam. Now, everything's b'day shamayim, meaning any type of yisurim that a person experiences, gzeras ha'melechi. It means it was directly a gzera and a shamayim that this yisurim should come about to this person. That's everything. Except chitzin mopachim shepa'amim sheboim b'pshir. Sometimes the result of somebody getting sick as a result of tzinim pachim is not that there was a gzeras melech that the person has to be subjected to this onesh that he got the flu or whatever else because of an onesh for something. It's because a person didn't take proper care of himself to avoid the elements, the hazards of the elements. Pa'amim boim b'pshia. So according to Rashi, what makes tzinim pachim different than everything else? It's not b'day shamayim ever, that Rashi said. What did Rashi say? It can be b'day shamayim, but doesn't always have to be. It can sometimes be a function of the person's own negligence. Whereas other types of things, other types of yisurin, are always seen as a gzeras melech. Again, we have to deal with Tosas Kashi here. We have to deal with, understand, a person can't harm himself. A person harms himself. They do something dangerous, and then they get hurt. They get sick. So it also came with Shia. How could Rashi say? How could there be a statement? Kol b'day shamayim, everything is geras nach except for tzinim pachim. Major question. We have to figure this out. But this is what Rashi says: tzinim pachim can come b'geras nelech. How kol b'day shamayim is geras nelech. All paranios can be geras. It has to be geras nelech. Tzinim pachim can be that. It can also be that Hashem lets the teva run its course. If a person is posheya, then that's what's going to happen. He'll run into problems. And that's tzinim pachim. Sometimes it could even be a person gets sick. Tzinim pachim can be also gzeras nach, but sometimes not. Okay, that's the first kasha. So how could you say tzinim pachim is b'day shamayim? It's b'day adam. And the second question is, v'su, second, what else did you assume? Arya v'ganvi b'day adam ninu. Again, when you had this discussion here, you were assuming arya v'ganvi is b'day adam. That's what you asked originally. Maybe Yaakov was only warning us on Bidei Adam things, like Ari V'Ganvi. It's like, Marcus, Ari V'Ganvi, that's a Bidei Adam. But Amar Rav Yosef, V'chentani Rav Chia. I'm going to illustrate that Ari V'Ganvi is actually Bidei Shemayim, it's Mitzeras Melech, because of the following statement that Rav Yosef said, Miyom Shechara Beis HaMikdash, from the time of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, and now we no longer have the formal Mises Beis Din being carried out. Nevertheless, Afal Pi Shebatlu Sanhedrin, we don't have a Sanhedrin after the Churban. Really, even before the Churban, there was no Sanhedrin. Tosis is going to raise the point of why Dafka, the cutoff being Churban Beis HaMikdash. But I'll cope on it. With the Churban, we don't have a Sanhedrin. But nonetheless, Arba Misos Lo Batlu. Still, Arba Misos was not Batlu. In fact, the Gemara, Lo Batlu. Ha Batlu, what do you mean? Obviously, there's no Sanhedrin. There's no Mises Beis Din. Elga. Din arba misos lo batlu. Din arba misos lo batlu. There's no arba misos themselves being carried out, but the judgment of arba misos continues to function. In what way? Who carries it out? Heaven does. Mishan is chayiv skila. Someone does something that makes him liable for skila. So Hashem orchestrates matters that he'll experience a death that is comparable to the misa of skila. How so? Oh no, from an agag. Oh, chayedor sasso. So, skila occurred that way. A person will be shoved down. That's how they did the skila, as it's described in Sanhedrin. Or chayedor sasso. Again, the animal, wild animal pulls him down the cliff. So, both times, both examples are examples that are similar to the onesh of skila. That skila. Mishan ischayv sreifa. How can it be that the din of sreifa will be continue to function on this person? Oh, no for bedleka. Oh, no chashma kisho. No for bedleka is sreifa, not exactly the same exact way. The sreifa based in with a hot lead, but mice experiences the being consumed by fire. Or nachashma kisho, Rashi will explain, is the venom in the snake, which is also similar to it, has a certain burning quality to it. Mishan ischayv hariga, sayif. O nimsala malchus, and that's how they do, they chop off the head. O listin boim alav, and they do it. Mishin eschayv chenek, o tabea benar, so he's strangled that way, he drowns to death. O meis besrunki, again, a type of death that affects in a certain strangulation type of feeling. So therefore, you see that Arya Viganvi is actually bidei, what? Bidei Shemayim. So how can you have these assumptions which are not correct on both counts? Sinu Pachim is actually bidei Adam, and Arya Ganvi bidei Shemayim. Ela Epoch. Arya Viganvi bidei Shemayim. Sinu Pachim bidei Adam. But the answer boils down to the same thing. You know, and Yaakov was warning not just about the bidei Adam, which would be what, now that we reinterpret it, which would be the bidei Adam of
Sinu Pachim.
Bidei Adam of Tzin and Pachin, but also for the Shemaim of Arya V'Ganvi. Rashi says, Bidei Adam Ninu, Shelo B'Gzeras Melech. Again, that's according to Rashi, the point of Bidei Adam the Shemaim is Gzeras Melech or not Gzeras Melech. Din Dalad Misos, Onesh Dugmasam. Some Onesh that resembles Dalad Misos. No from Nagag Domel Niskal, Shedolfinosum Beis Askila La'aretz, Gavor Beis Komos, Haya. That's how high it was. Kedamin B'Nigma Adin, Sanhedrin. Chayid or Sasso is another type of skila. Ari Mapila La'aretz. This is the idea of Arye. The lion wrestles him down to the ground from a higher place. Vaharago Bedrisa, and then attacks him that way. But there was a certain impact that had to do with skila. Nachash Makisho Va'eres Sarfos. It was a type of a burning inside as well. Nimsa Lamalchus, who'll be squealed on to the governments, the authorities, Vehematiz and Rosh Besaif, Kiken Derech HaMumasin Al Yedein. That's how they used to do it, the guillotine. Zui Misa Saif, Sarunki Askirav Uag Begaron. Okay, so all of this is within the explanation of Abaye. Abaye's explanation of how Nechum Narkane knows that Chayv Krisus has the same din as Chayv Misa's Beis Din of Tashlumin, because of the Asan Asa. Rava Amar, Time, yeah.
I'm sorry, going back with the Asan, after they said that Yaakov was talking about both of them, doesn't the first Makar become extraneous? Because because if we see that with Yaakov, we see
oh, that's the point.
Referring to Bidei Shemayim and Bidei Adam.
Right.
So
all we need to do once we know that Yaakov Avinu was Masir also on Bidei Shemayim. That's all we need to say to explain the Asa Nasa.
So we don't need the first pasuk anymore.
Which first pasuk? No, we do because that's the whole mucker of Kondramini.
But we're not trying to prove that. We're just trying to show a relationship between Bidei Adayim and Bidei
But you need that pasuk because that's what gives us the whole halacha of coming from Minei. So you need to plug in, tap into that, because otherwise you don't have anything. Just the other by itself won't do anything. You have to tap into the coming from Minei as the anchor. Now we have the word Asson that teaches me coming from Minei, and now we know that Asson can be extended not just to Bidei Adam, Bidei Shemayim as well, because Yaakov was Mazir in that as well. No? It's clear. Rava Amar, Taimer Davachim Elkana Mehach. He has a different marker. Ve'im Harem Yarimu Amarts Eseinem in Aishahu. Ve'sitomi Zaral Amolech. Pasuk describes a person who's Obi Lamolech is Chayev Misa, and the person should be put to death. And if the people don't try the person for his crime, so the Torah says, against that person, and with his family, so everybody's going to get kares vichrati also, and everyone afterwards. But it's talking about him as well. So we see from here the following: Amr Torah. What you see in this section of the Torah is equating kares shali kemisa shalachem. It's going to be the same thing. You're not going to carry out what you need to carry out, so I'll do it. And it's a substitute, and it's a perfect substitute. Korosu kimisa shalachem, ma misa shalachem, patim natashlumin. Just like we know by Mises Beis Din, it comes with a din of patim natashlumin. It's strong enough to patim from tashlumin. Af korosu patim natashlum. What does Rashi say? Mina isha hu shulchai Mises Beis Din. Samti ani es panai veichrati lamadnu shal koros mako misa bechiluf. A strong language in Rashi. In the Hagdara and Rav, what do you see here? Kares b'mako misa v'chilufa. Earlier Rashi had the language was what? Chiyuv nefesh huzeh. Upatim nefesh lumen. Here Rashi is teaching in Rava that the chefs of kares is the substitute for misa's based in. Kares b'mako misa. And therefore, if misa has the upatim nefesh lumen, so does kares. Now the Gemara asks, now that we have two Makoros, Machim and Akanya, Abaye and Rava, says the Gemara, Mai Benayu, Mai Ika Ben Rava La Abaye, what would be an Afkamina, which drush should we use? The Gemara, Ika Benayu, Zar Sha'achal Truma. If a non Kohen eats Truma, would be a Chi of Mama. La Abaye Pater, La Rava Chayef. Why would this be an Afkamina? Because the Chiyuv, the chiyuv for eating truma is what's the ones b'mezid misa bidei shemayim, and it's not kares, and there's a distinction. And if you're going to go with the drasha of Abaye, so we equate asam bidei shemayim to asam bidei adam, then asam bidei shemayim encompasses not just kares but also misa bidei shemayim. According to Rava, if the drush is based on kares shali kemisa shalachem v'ichrati, then that drush, the halacha would only be limited to kares that patters from tashlumin, but not misa bidei shemayim. So that would be a nafkamina. What exactly is the difference between the two? Let's see Rashi. Zar shachal truma b'mezid. He ate truma b'mezid. What's the onesh? Who b'misa b'dei shemayim v'lo b'kares? Kares, like Rashi, who b'zaro nenoshim, d'chsiv ariyim yiyu. So Rashi says a kares always means that it's not just the person, even the children. He'll be childless. It doesn't say ariyim by all the cases. It only says ariyim by some of the kaili cases. Rashi assumes that that's megala in all of them. Those who remember from Yevamos, right? Tosis and Yevamos Dav Beis argues on Rashi, right? Tosis assumes that Aririm is specific to some of the Arayas and not to all of them, only where it says Aririm. So Tosis is a different distinction. Tosis learns it's a question of the age based on Yerushalmi, So it's exactly how premature will be the death. That's the nafkamina. Different ways. With the years, Tosis works it out, beginning of Yavamis. But Rashi learns that all kares is avirim. So now, abaye patur mitashlumin, the nafkalei me asim bidei shamayim, the kolasim b'mashma, ben b'misa, ben b'kares.